Welcome to Torati Mecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcha. Today we're going to be learning Parshas Vayakel. So the Parsha is mainly about the details of the construction of the Mishkan. We're told in very specific detail how every single part of the Mishkan was constructed. But before that, we're told about Shabbos, right at the beginning of the Parsha. And the connection between the Mishkan and Shabbos is very fundamental and very well known, because we learn from this positioning of Shabbos, the way it comes before the Mishkan, that the halachas of Shabbos also come before the Mishkan. The halachas of Shabbos override the important work of constructing the Mishkan. And we also learn from this juxtaposition exactly what is forbidden to do on Shabbos. The 39 halachas of Shabbos, they're exactly derived from all the things that needed to be done for the construction of the Mishkan. The Parsha also describes people contributing to the building of the Mishkan, people coming to donate time, resources, and about Bezalel and Oholiab, who were responsible for the building. They were the architects, the chief craftsmen, and how they built it with expertise. And it describes how the Mishkan was actually built. We're going to focus a little bit on the description of the people who contributed to the building of the Mishkan. So the pasuk tells us, "Vayavayu kol ish asher nisa'ay liboy, every man whose heart elevated him came. V'chol asher nadva ruchay oisay, and everyone whose spirit moved him, they brought donations to build the Mishkan and for all of its work." So we have two terms here to describe donors. We have nadva ruchai, those whose spirit moved him, and we have nisa'ai liboi, those whose heart elevated him. And both of these are quite difficult to understand exactly what is meant by that, and we're going to spend some time exploring what they mean and the differences between these two terms. So let's begin with the Ramban. The Ramban says that the first type of person, or the second person in the pasuk, the nadva ruchai, is the person who donated resources. He donated gold, he donated silver, he donated fine fabrics, he donated physical resources for the building of the Mishkan. But the other type of person, the nesa'i liboi, is somebody who volunteered his time. He said, "Let me come and help build the Mishkan." And it's quite an interesting expression, nesa'i liboi, his heart elevated him. Why are the people who donated time, why are they described in this way? Nesa'i liboi, his heart elevated him. So explains the Ramban so beautifully, that these people came from Egypt, they were slaves. Nobody had ever taught them this kind of trade. They didn't know how to work with expensive gems and fine fabrics and gold and silver. They didn't have experience in weaving very delicate fabrics, in engraving intricate designs, and designing very delicate crowns of the Aron and the Shulchan. This wasn't in their work experience. They were bricklayers in Mitzrayim. They had never even had the opportunity to observe someone else doing this kind of work. But these people wanted to contribute to the building of the Mishkan so badly that nesa'ai liboi, their hearts elevated them. And they came to Moshe and they said, "We want to help. We want to contribute." And because of that, they found the capacity within themselves to be able to do this incredibly intricate and delicate work, which they had had no experience in before. That's why they're described as nesa'ai liboi. Their hearts elevated them to do things that they didn't think were within their capabilities. And there's a tremendous lesson here about getting involved in community work. Sometimes we say, "I don't know how to do this. I don't have experience in this kind of thing. I've never done this before. I don't know if this is me." But when it comes to holy work, it's not about our experience. It's not about our capabilities. It's about our commitment and our desire to contribute that makes all of the difference. The second explanation that I want to share that discusses the differences between these two terms is the Orach Chaim. So he interprets it slightly differently, but it's almost the exact same lesson as the Ramban. He says also there were two types of donors. Some people, the first category, they gave what they could. They gave very happily according to what made sense for them, according to their capacity, according to their capabilities. They looked at their bank statements and they thought, "These are our expenses and this is what we need and this is what we can spare, and we are so happy to give everything that we can spare." Nadva ruchai, their spirit donates. They're so happy to give what they can. And that's amazing. But then there's a second level. The Orach Chaim says there's a second category of people. People that are so committed to giving that they give more than they can. Their heart elevates them. Nesa'oi liboi. They give more than what makes sense for them, more than what they can technically manage. Again, they want to give so badly that they don't just give what on paper makes sense for them, but they give more than that because they want to give. And this reminds me of a story in one of Rabbi Krohn's early books about a Jew in Yerushalayim many, many years ago. And someone came knocking on his door asking for tzedakah. Another Jew needed surgery. He was ill and he couldn't afford the surgery. And he said, could you please help me out? Could you please make a donation? And the Jew listened carefully and compassionately and he thought about it and he said, you know, I really, really would love to help you. I really, really would love to help you. But I've already given away all my ma'aser money. I've already given away 10% of my earnings. And remember, in Yerushalayim, in those days, people were very poor, desperately poor. They couldn't afford to give more than they had to give. And he said, so what I do when I really want to give tzedakah and I've given away all my ma'aser money is that I give against my future ma'aser account. I give some ma'aser money in advance before I've earned it. But he said, but I have a policy that I can't go more than 20% over in my account. I can't go more than 20% in my overdraft MISA account. So I'm really sorry. I'm already over the 20%. I would love to help you. I just can't at the moment. And the other Jew listened and he understood. And he said, no problem. And he turned and he left. A couple of minutes later, the first Jew comes running down the road, chasing after the person collecting tzedakah. He says, wait, wait, I thought of an idea. I want to help you. I worked out that every single Shabbos, I spend some money on grape juice, wine for Kiddush, and on challah. But the halacha is that you're allowed to make Kiddush on challah. You don't have to have wine. So I worked out that if for the next 20 years, I make Kiddush on challah instead of on grape juice, I save that money from buying the grape juice. I can afford to help you now. And he gave him some money as a donation. And that's exactly what he did. For 20 years, he made Kiddush on Hamotzi instead of on grape juice so that he could afford to help this person, so that he could afford to give him tzedakah money. That's Nesa'oi Liboi. He didn't think, what makes sense? What can I? How can I? He thought, I want to do this. I will make a plan. And his heart elevated him to be able to do that. So this explanation of the Or HaChaim is very similar to the explanation of the Ramban. The Nesa'oi Liboi describes a person who gives with a level of dedication that raises him, that elevates him to contribute more than his capacity because of his commitment. There are two types of giving and givers. There's ordinary giving, which is great. It's you give as much as you can. There's nothing wrong. It's amazing to give as much as you can. But then there's another kind of giving that elevates a person to the point when they give more than they thought they could. And this is because they are so committed and so dedicated. And this commitment and this dedication, it raises them to another level of giving entirely. You know, the proof of the fact that people are not limited and there's no such a thing as not having talent or ideas or creativity, and if their commitment is there, they can give. The proof of this is from the giving in the Mishkan. The proof is from these people whose hearts elevated them to give more resources than they were able to, or to give more of their time, to give more of their talent than they thought they were able to, because they were so, so committed. And there are two people in more recent history that remind me of this idea. Two people who had this intense level of commitment that enabled them to give so much more than they were essentially able to. The first one is Sarah Shanira. Now, I'm not a historian, but in all the books that I've read about Sarah Shanira, it doesn't say that she was necessarily born a genius, that she was necessarily brilliant, or that she came from an extremely prestigious family or a wealthy family, or that she was gifted in some way or another. Yet Sarah Shanira, she who was the founder of the Beis Yaakov movement, and she was responsible for Jewish education of girls, and who knows where we'd be today if not for her, she was just a seamstress. And she saw a situation of girls just drifting away because of a lack of education. And it bothered her so much. She cared so deeply that empowered her to start a movement that has changed Jewish history forever. How? Just because she cared so much. And the other person who reminds me of this idea is Mike Tress. Mike Tress was hugely influential in the early days of Jewish America. He was very actively involved in the Aguda. He was actively involved in building America as a place of Torah and of Shmira Shabbos, and he rescued many, many Jews from death from Europe during the Holocaust. He organized visas and affidavits, and he gave both of his resources and of his time to do this. He really changed the landscape for Jewish America. And again, we have no evidence that he was particularly gifted or brilliant or smart. The one thing that we know about him is that he was hugely, hugely committed, that he just cared so much about Klal Yisrael. He cared so much that he was able to do whatever it took. Another example of a person whose heart elevated him, Nesa'i Libay. And these people make me question about myself. Do I care enough to really push myself beyond my limits, to contribute beyond my limits? If they could do it, why can't I? I'd like to share one more explanation for the two terms in our pasuk, and this one comes from Haksava Kabbalah. So he explains also, there are two types of givers. There's the type of giver who's a nodva ruchai. He feels like giving is the right thing to do. It's appropriate. I should give. His soul, his neshama, compels him to give. Nodva ruchai. It literally means his spirit or his nefesh donates. It's naturally very hard to give, but he feels like he should do it. And it's a very choshev form of giving. It's very laudable that he gives because he feels like he should. But then, says the Ksava Kabbalah, there's a second type of giver, where even their physical self enjoys giving. They enjoy giving more than they enjoy keeping it for themselves. They get a physical pleasure from giving. Nesa'i Libay. Even the heart, which is a physical organ, wants to give because they enjoy giving. You've got the Nadva Ruchai, where my soul feels like this is the right thing to do. But then you've got the Nesa'i Libay, where my heart, my physical self, enjoys giving so much. I'd rather give than keep it for myself. And again, this is another example of how the heart and commitment and love of giving, it changes the whole nature and the whole style of the giving itself. The heart elevates a person to give and to do more than is possible, according to the Ramban and the Or HaChaim. And a giving heart loves to give so much that you don't just feel duty-bound or obligated to give, but one enjoys the actual giving, which is unnatural and it's beautiful, according to the Ksava Kabbalah. These were the two groups of people who donated for the Mishkan. I want to end with a story from Baba Basra, a very impactful story, describing a time when there was a serious famine in Eretz Yisrael. And the king at that time was called Mumbaz. And he gave away all of his wealth and all of his inherited wealth, all the wealth that his family had accumulated over the years, to be able to support people during the famine, to be able to provide for them. And people said to him, "Are you crazy? What are you doing? Your family collected wealth, took many years. They all accumulated on the wealth of the previous generations and contributed to that. And you're just taking all the family wealth and you're losing it. You're squandering it." And he answered them so beautifully, and I'm going to read it in Hebrew because it's just breathtakingly beautiful. He says, "Avosai gonzu lamata, ani gonazti lamala." My grandfathers, my ancestors, they accumulated wealth down below. I'm accumulating up above. "Avosai gonzu bimkom shehayad sholetes boy. My ancestors stored treasure in a place where the human hand can touch, where people can steal it from you or take it from you. But I'm storing treasure in a place where no one can ever take it from me." He says, "Avosai gonzu davar she'enoise peros, va'ani gonasti davar she'oise peros." My ancestors accumulated things that don't generate profit. But what I'm doing, what could generate more profit than saving Jewish lives? "Avosai gonzu mamon, ani gonazti oitzreis nefashos." My ancestors stored money. I'm storing treasures of souls. And this is the line that gets me most. "Avosai gonzu la'acherim, va'ani gonazti la'atzmi." My ancestors stored treasure for other people. At the end of the day, what is a nice car or a nice watch about? It's so that other people can look at it and say, "Wow, she has such a nice car or such a nice watch." But I'm storing things for myself. What I'm doing by saving other people, that's truly for me. And finally, "Avosai gonzu la'olam hazeh, va'ani gonazti la'olam haba." My ancestors, they stored treasure that one can benefit from in this world. But what I accumulated and what I'm collecting through helping other people, that's eternal. Have a great week.